Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, every Sunday I pray that since last Sunday you come back here a little more wise than before. For some of you, I can only hope. Perhaps you think the same of me, that maybe I'm a little more wise than when you saw me last. But at least, you know, with two pastors, you have at least one wise pastor. I pray that you have wisdom to see how parables work. They are hidden from the world. And you first have to find who Jesus is in the parable. And that parable you heard, the Good Samaritan, is not focused on you being a Good Samaritan. And the world gets this wrong, and most Christians. You know, the lawyer asks such an intriguing question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you see Elizabeth there baptized today. You know, what does she do to even inherit life? Or what does she do to inherit the massive Adair estate? Well, what does any of us do to inherit, I mean, even from God, eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing but receive. And, you know, matters of life and death are on our mind these days. Life is not safe. It never has been. And especially if you confess the Christ properly. I mean, every follower of Christ, of course, we die to ourselves, we die to the world, and we rise to newness of life. And yet, still risk their life for the sake of Him who is eternal life. St. Paul writes, I am always being given over to death, that the life of Christ be manifested, be real, be certain, epiphanied in my flesh and blood. And that actually happens in a very real way, that you are joined to Him in the midst of a valley of death. You know, as we see all too clearly with the 9/11 anniversary and Charlie Kirk, and you also see recently in the cities, the brutal murders and the summer camp, over 100 children and counselors swept away by flood. We have children murdered while they're at morning chapel. And the list goes on and on. We are surrounded by evil. And in a world of hostilities, if you confess the crucified Jesus and Him alone is the only objective truth of life and body and marriage and salvation, you will be hated for it. They will not take kindly to it. If you confess the true Christ, you know, Jesus tells you to expect it. He says, a servant, you are not greater than their master. Look what they did to Him, how they treated Him. And could anyone be more loving, more wise, more compassionate than He to others? And so the scripture tells you, take courage. Scripture commends you, take courage. You know, courage is not your personal strength. It's a spiritual attribute, meaning that you trust in God's presence and promises. Courage, it's the ability to act in godly wisdom, His truth, even when afraid, even when there's a cost, knowing that God is with you. You are His baptized. Oh, how you should go about this life trusting in your baptism, as you see with little Elizabeth. He will see to your good. You know, evil and demons and evil people cannot win, even though it seems like they do. And he will use every tragedy, every evil for good, to show more compassion as he is the Good Samaritan to his beloved. You know, show courage in these days. We need men to stand firm and women to endure right next to them against evil and lies. I mean, even Aristotle contends, without courage, what good are the other virtues? The most important thing you can do every night, pray in your home by yourself or over your family. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in the evening prayer, let your holy angel be with me that the evil foe may have no power over me. And repeat in the morning. I mean, there are many warm, beautiful days of joy, yet we are also surrounded by dark days. And we live in evil times. So take courage. I mean, God's work in you. For you are an inheritor of eternal life right now. And so you cannot die. The lawyer asked such an intriguing question. Well, who is my neighbor? Who must I love? You know, and of course, everyone agrees with love your neighbor as long as you get to choose who that is. I mean, the lawyer is like us. We want loopholes for God to grade on a curve. Give some credit for our intentions. I mean, it should count for something, for being nice, being good, doing favors for certain times for certain people. And don't cuss too much. Credit for being generous, charitable, polite, for saying our prayers and listening to what mom tells us. I mean, the lawyer is just like us. Wants to look good, righteous, because he's good people. Yet, it is still not enough for any of us, not even close. Help others, do all you can. It's not enough. I mean, only those who keep the law perfectly inherit eternal life. And so who is my neighbor? And you know, Jesus responds with the parable, Good Samaritan. And of course, Good Samaritan is forever linked to anyone who does good things, who stops to help, who sees a need, responds. And the world gets this wrong because they think being Christian is all about being a Good Samaritan. That as if it's a religion of rewards. God does good to those who do good to him. And that's a lie. No. You see, Christianity is about a God who comes to people who are beaten and left dead on the road. And the more you understand this Good Samaritan story, you realize the story is not foremost, as most people think, most Christians think. Go and do likewise. Be Good Samaritans. I mean, of course, sure, it is important how you are to live and treat others. But that's very secondary. I mean, this is what Jesus, the Good Samaritan, does to save you. You, left for dead. And Jesus finds you broken, beaten, condemned by the law, helpless, dying. He comes to victims of thieves, robbers who abuse you, robbed you of hope, beaten up by this world, assaulted by sin, assaulted by Satan, to believe that your God is unloving, uncaring, not wanting to stop and help, and wounded and bleeding, left for dead, hopeless, helpless, to save yourself. He intervenes. Oil, pointing to holy baptism. Wine, pointing to holy communion. The inn, the church. Absolutely. This is a parable. Christ coming to you in the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit in baptism. Pours out wine of his blood from his altar to cleanse your wounds. I mean, is it not written that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all our sins? And so too, Christ fulfills the scripture as it's written that I will restore to you to health and heal your wounds and will bestow on you the oil of joy and bring forth the wine that gladdens hearts. These are real things. His compassionate work in your life, the healing balm of mercy to soothe your wounds of sin. And the parable concludes, 2 denarii to the innkeep. I mean, the inn, the church, innkeeps, faithful pastors, given to look after, care for his people who still suffer the wounds of sin, who still suffer. Abundant payment for your forgiveness, healing your wounds, daily care until he comes back. The inn here never runs out. The oil, the wine, sacraments, delivering the goods of Christ without cost to you, overflowing his compassion, delivering healing to restore your soul, to bind you up as nothing in this world will. 2 denarii. That through the ministry, Christ pays the debt his people can't pay, or you could never pay. And absolving your sins 2 times over. Isaiah wrote to the church, speak comfort to Jerusalem, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There's nothing left to pay. Who proves to be a neighbor? You go and do likewise. You see, as you have been handled by your Lord, and the more you realize this, the more to be more compassionate, more merciful. Love your neighbors, for you are freed. You are freed from earning his love and life. You are freed from the judgment of the law. I mean, what a way to live. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. Inheritance only given. Your adoption. Like Elizabeth at the font, receive the gifts of Christ. It's all yours. And the Good Samaritan never fails to attend to you, forgives you in his mercy. He loves to love you, though unlovable and unloving though you are, clothing you who've been stripped with his righteousness, giving his perfect keeping of the law to you, that you have eternal life. It says there, he had compassion. He has compassion. Never ever lose sight that he always has compassion on you to act. That's the Good Samaritan story. It's your story. And now, have the blood of Jesus poured over your wounds. In the name of Jesus, amen.